Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
When you hear the sound coming, hear the drums drumming, I want you to join.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we start our second hour on this Friday afternoon. We got to talk some more wagering, and joining us now, like he always does, it's Bruce Marshall.
Joining the guys every Friday is college football historian and Vegas legend Bruce Marshall from Vegas Insiders, CBS Sports, and his own website, BamSports.net. With over 30 years on Memphis radio, with handicapping and sports talk, here's Bruce Marshall with Bryant and Brett.
Us now to talk some wagering. He's from the Gold Sheet and he's with us every single Friday afternoon. Bruce, thanks so much for joining us. Tons to talk about, but I want to start with the NBA Finals. Game one, the Spurs get a 14-point lead in the third quarter, but ultimately it was the Knicks who won by double digits. What did you make of what you saw in game one?
Wow. I think, Bryant, that was very disturbing for San Antonio there, and I think it sort of laid out a template for the rest of the series. The Knicks were a little flat at the outset there, as they were after that long layoff in game one of the Cleveland series, and then having Brunson go out for a while there in the first half added to the concern there. And, you know, San Antonio probably, you know, should have been able to push that lead out a bit further. But as the game wore on there, you could see the Knicks gradually gaining control, and then they really stepped it up a notch in the second half after Brunson came back. And I had forecast before, it was an AP story that Mark Anderson wrote last week, where he quoted me forecasting the series, and I said, I think the Knicks are going to win the series. The reason I think they're going to win that is because just fundamentals in particular, a lot of it involves Cat. And what Carl Anthony Towns has been able to do, more of that in a second, but just in strategically here, this five-out look, spreading the perimeter with spreading out San Antonio's defense and using Cat out there, takes away Wemby's ability to really dominate the game on the defensive side. He is too far away from the basket, especially if he's guarding Cat, who showed an ability to get past him. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something San Antonio is going to have to address, and it's hard to keep Wemby just down in the paint against this offense because they spread out the perimeter so much. So that the fundamentals are very tough there, too. Also, on the wings there, the Knicks are just bigger and stronger there with Hart and Anunoby. I think it's a tough fundamental matchup there for San Antonio. It looks to me like San Antonio's remedy. Or a couple things. One, I think they'll play Dylan Harper more. He was on the bench in the fourth quarter. I think if Mitch Johnson had to do game one over again, he wouldn't have done that. Listen, De'Aaron Fox is not playing at 100%, and I think we're going to see more of Harper. That might be a key for the Spurs. But bottom line is their remedy is going to be just shooting three-pointers better. But that's a pretty rickety angle there because – the three-pointers, I don't know that they have enough pure shooters where that can be consistent. Champagne did make some the other night, but Castle has been erratic. We mentioned Fox being erratic. Do you want to count on Harper to make threes? And Wemby is out there too far, and if he's shooting, you know, if all he's doing is shooting a lot of threes, that's a poor man's Kevin Durant, and that's not the way the Spurs are going to win. I think they're in trouble. And what we mentioned about Cat before, and I think we mentioned this last week, what Mike Brown did, the adjustment he made back in the Atlanta series after they were down 2-1 and looking in some trouble, but a subtle adjustment there just to run the offense a little bit more through Cat and not just Brunson every time down court. And that seemed to animate and engage Cat. He's been a different player since then, both ends of the court. It's like we've been waiting to see this from him for a decade. For him really to take it seriously on both ends of the court, and he's showing what he can do. He might be the MVP for the Knicks, although, you know, Brunson would probably get more votes, but I'm not sure Cat isn't their most valuable player right now, and that's why I think the Knicks are going to win this series, and they may win tonight again.
Bruce, I'm just going to be candid. Going into this playoff year, Mike Brown was not considered a coaching heavyweight in the NBA. was that wrong or right? And it certainly has improved. And do you just said you think he's had a good postseason. Has that image been shined up some?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's been in some spots. I mean, he did get, you know, Cleveland, you know, I think he got, you know, Cleveland pretty far at one point when LeBron was there. And he's been in some situations that have been, you know, not quite set up to do well. But everybody knows, I mean, he lives and breathes basketball. He does know it. And I think he finally found the right fit. And I think this is sort of an intersection of Brown and the team and the players there coming together at the right place and the right time. This is a mature team the Knicks have. These aren't a lot of young guys here. Also, there are guys here from, you know, from the Villanova tree, the Jay Wright tree, including Brunson and Hart and, you know, and Bridges. I mean, they understand, you know, basketball strategy here. And the connection that Brown has been able to form with them is very good. It's also, I think, the interesting thing here is that the owner, Jim Dolan, who has come under a lot of criticisms, rightly so,
yes,
over the years, might have finally got something right when he moved out Thibodeau after last season and went for Brown. His reasoning was he thought that the team just wore out a little bit too much late in the season every time under Thibodeau because he drove them so hard physically, and he wanted a coach who could maybe dial that back a little bit and just sort of connect with them on a different level. I think these guys like Brown. They like playing for him. In Dolan's case, it's more, you know, it just proves that a broken clock can be right, is always right twice per day. But he stumbled into a good fit, and I think just the fit here with Brown is perfect with the Knicks.
Did he also get lucky with Leon Rose and Worldwide West?
Yeah. I guess so, yeah.
Worldwide West is EVP. He's executive vice president of the team.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
which is,
he did.
Shocking.
And it's just, but I think all the pieces have, I mean, the NBA, and this is the, you know, the thing. Everything is sort of temporary in the NBA, and these things fit, and we're looking at an eighth different champion in 8 years. Mm-hmm. And in that span, we've seen teams that we thought we're going to be able to win more championships, if not in a row, but certainly more. I mean, the Lakers, that was a fluky thing, I still think, in the bubble in Orlando in the COVID year.
Me too.
But, you know, LeBron and AD didn't do it after that. The Bucks with Giannis, we thought this was going to be the start of something big for them. It wasn't. Denver won 3 years ago, and we thought, okay, that's not going to be the only time Denver wins the title. Oh, well, it might be, because it looks like the Nuggets are having to make adjustments. What about the Celtics 2 years ago? Didn't think that was just going to be a one-and-done thing, but 2 years since, they haven't gotten back. And last year, Oklahoma City, this year, ran into a roadblock. So it's all, you know, just at the moment in the NBA. It's how things shape up in the moment. And this moment seems to be the moment for the Knicks. This might be a one-time deal for them. I wouldn't count on this happening next year. But it's happening right now, and that's the important thing.
Bruce, that's great recitation, but you also can go back to 19 in Toronto before COVID.
Yes.
Before the bubble.
Yeah, that's right. And that one, although that seems sort of, because Kawhi left right after that, and that seemed like a...
Yeah, we knew it was one and done.
Definitely a one-shot deal,
yeah,
with the Toronto, you know, and they never quite reached that level again. So, yeah, that's another one. But that's sort of when this, you know, the... the streak, and now this will be the eighth season starting with Toronto in 2019 that a different team has won every year.
You've made it clear you like the Knicks to win this series. Do you think the Knicks can sweep?
Possibly. I think it's interesting. Now, tonight they are an underdog, and it's a little bit higher spread than game one. And I think what the marketplace has done, there's so much discussion about the playoff zigzag, and it's generally worked pretty well over the years, and it seems to work best after the home team loses a game one, they get game two at home, and the bounce back has been pretty strong generally in game two. And I think they sort of built that into the price here tonight, which is why this price is a little higher than game one. But I'm not on board with that at all here, because I think superseding all that should be the fact the Knicks are on this tremendous run right now. 12 in a row, plus 292 scoring margin. They end up winning by double digits even in game one. And I think that supersedes the zigzag. And by the way, the zigzag doesn't always work. I mean, it's not etched in granite. Yet they have sort of built that into the price tonight, and I think it just creates extra value. The point spreads usually don't matter that much in the finals. You either win or you lose. The Knicks can win this game. I would. So you could play this on the money line, too. I wouldn't argue with that. Mm. But to be safe, yeah, go ahead and take the six. I think that's a good spot, and I think the Knicks can win. Mm.
Any thoughts on the total or player props tonight?
Well, the total looks like it's climbed up a little bit. I mean, it dropped about 214.5 from about 218.5 in the game one. And now it's, I saw it today is bet up like around 216 a bit. The Knicks have been playing, the score lines have dropped a little bit. They've allowed under 100 in three of their last four. But the trend line from the start of the second round of the playoffs is still pretty strong, over 24 and 12. I expect both teams to shoot a little better than they did in game one when the Spurs only 36%, 11 of 43 beyond the arc, and the Knicks were only 41% themselves, although they started to hit better in the second half. They can both shoot better than that. That's why I think this one probably goes over tonight. But I think my first call tonight would be just, you know, take the Knicks and then secondary play maybe on the over.
Bruce, do you find any parallel, or is it just coincidental, or is it just Brett being the consistent John Calipari critic that he is, that since World Wide West has gone to work for the Knicks, John Calipari doesn't get as good of players anymore?
That is true. I mean, he was the connection. He's
on the team playing here.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the that helped Calipari a lot, you know, all those years, that's for sure. That might be a fair assessment, sure. Mm-hmm.
The Belmont tomorrow, I know it's your favorite of the three Triple Crown races. Brian and I earlier, today is the first time, we're going to talk it with you, but today is the first time that I can ever remember doing Memphis radio in 34 years that I didn't have a dedicated horse racing guest, usually Dick Girardi. I passed, and I love Dick Girardi to death, but I passed. It doesn't have any oomph tomorrow. How do you feel about it tomorrow?
I feel exactly like you, and the reason it is because it's not really the Belmont. They are running this thing at a mile and a quarter. Of course, you know, they're running third straight year up at Saratoga because they are revamping the whole Belmont facility. So I think they're going back to Belmont next year. The Belmont's track, of course, is a mile and a half track. Mm-hmm. And so you can run, that's an easy race to run at Belmont just one time around. Most tracks are a mile or a mile and an eighth. Saratoga happens to be a mile and an eighth track. If they run a mile and a half at Saratoga, they have to put the starting gate right about the top of the far turn, which they have chosen not to do. The Belmont is the Belmont because it is supposed to be the marathon endurance test at a mile and a half. If they run it at a mile and a quarter, it's not. And what bothers me is that when the Belmont was run at Aqueduct between 63 and 67, and that's when they were revamping Belmont the last time, the old Belmont they tore down. It took several years to get the new Belmont ready, but they finally did by 68. But they ran the Belmont at a mile and a half at Aqueduct. Aqueduct has a mile and an eighth track, just like Saratoga. They started the race at the top of the far turn. You can go back and look at YouTube. You can do that, and there were no mishaps in the race. I mean, that's where they started the race. And for some reason, they're not doing that at Saratoga. And this isn't the Belmont. So I'm not even paying much attention to it. And I don't know that the people in charge really have a sense of history, like a lot of modern sports people. But, you know, it's not the Belmont now. It's just like another version of the Kentucky Derby. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not that interested, really.
Wow. Yeah, I think you're absolutely
right
about
that.
It really is. It has changed so much. Talking to Bruce Marshall, he joins us every single week to talk some wagering. Bruce, I got to get your thoughts on the Stanley Cup Finals. How are everybody in Vegas handling the Knights being in another Stanley Cup Final, and what have you thought about the first two games so far?
Well, not too well after last night, Brian, because it looked like they had the Hurricanes pinned on the ropes there, and looked like they're going to bring a 2-0 lead back here to T-Mobile for Game 3. Carolina, that incredible push there to get ahead 3-2, and then Mark Stone ties it up about a minute left and when the Golden Knights pulled the goalie. And then Carolina, though, wins in overtime. I have a feeling that the whole momentum of this series changed last night because Carolina found a way to get back into this thing. They showed me an awful lot there coming back. The question I have right now about Vegas, and this is, I think we mentioned this last week, John Tortorella, he came in right at the end of the regular season, and they've done very well since he came in.
And he's nuts.
But he's not flying beyond the playoffs. And I don't think they're even thinking about him for next year. This is really odd. He's the mercenary's mercenary. And he's been fired from every job. He's won a lot in the NHL, but he's also been fired a lot.
And so every
I think
network.
They're looking at this. Yeah, I mean, they're just looking at this very short term. Carter Hart, he's got him going. He remembers Hart, who played for him in Philadelphia. And he's been sticking with him the whole playoffs. I've always thought that's a little risky because he's riding Hart very hard. Hart only played 18 games in the regular season. He hadn't played an NHL game in 2 years before that, and that was the stuff that went on off, you know, with Canada, was that issue there. They finally got that result. But I thought he's looking a little tired here. I mean, Carolina scored 4 in the first game, and last night, those were some shots that he would have normally been saving that he wasn't in the third period. I think he's wearing down a little bit. And I think Carolina's ability on the penalty kill to be so good and to sort of protect Frederik Andersen a little bit more. Vegas is good enough they can still create scoring chances with all their weapons. But I wonder if Carter Hart's tiring out here. And Tortorella's riding him, but he may just be riding him into the ground. I think that series, the momentum switched last night. I think Carolina's got the edge. And the home ice, you know, road teams win in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And Carolina has proven, you know, it can do that. So I think they can win on the road, and that's what they've been doing all through the playoffs. So I think they're back in charge, I think.
Bruce, we're going to go the very rare Memphis Sports Talk Radio trifecta of horse racing to hockey to the World Cup starting on Thursday.
Yeah.
What are some of your predictions and your thoughts about, I think it's safe to say, your favorite sport?
Yeah, and it's fun. I'm actually doing some videos for Wager Talk now, so putting those up there as well at wagertalk.com. The U.S., I am not overly optimistic. I don't like the appointment of Pochettino as the manager. I think this was a vanity hire. I think this team is too easy to play through from what I've seen. Mostly those games a couple months ago against Belgium and Portugal. And I know U.S. didn't have its full team there, but neither did Belgium and Portugal. But they were just walking right through the U.S. defense, as Senegal did last Sunday in Charlotte, too. And when U.S. actually had its best World Cup showing in my lifetime was in 2002 with Bruce Arena, it was very hard to play through. Defense first, fight on the counter. This team's trying to be too prosaic, and that's Pochettino's style. And frankly, I think, you know, he has coached a lot of teams with great players, and the only things he ever won were titles in France with PSG when they were way the best team, and he had all sorts of weaponry there. He doesn't have better weaponry here. He's trying to play like Spain or France. U.S. might get to the round of 16. That's about it. Injuries are going to be very important in this World Cup. How healthy is Lionel Messi going to be for Argentina? He suffered a leg injury recently in MLS. How healthy is Lamine Yamal going to be for Spain? He missed the last month and a half with his hamstring strain at Barcelona. Did not play in their friendly game yesterday against Iran. Supposedly going to be ready for the World Cup. But I think you'll see some of these guys, the managers really take it easy with players like Messi and Yamal at the start. I think this is a long tournament, and they think they're going to be able to get through the first round anyway. So it's interesting. Spain is the team to beat if Yamal and Nico Williams are both 100%, though that's a question because neither of them Williams had a lot of injuries at Bilbao this year, and Rodri in the middle of the field. He's battled injury plague 2 years at Man City. They're the best team if all cylinders are firing, but that's the mystery of this tournament. They've got some injuries, and it's a long tournament. You could have more injuries pop up. Depth is going to be important, so we'll see how that goes.
The finals will be Sunday, July 19th at MetLife in New Jersey, right outside New York City. You yep. and I will be at SEC Media Days that Sunday. On Monday
right.
of SEC Media Days for the entire World Cup run, I'm not talking security. We sure want it to be safe. How do you think it will be deemed? United States success, hosting, nailed it, or will it be abject disaster reviews?
I think they'll nail it just because the soccer will be good enough and that's what people will be looking at, although I don't like all these afternoon starts and playing in the hot. Mm. I'd rather have these games played at night, and only a handful of them are going to be played at night. I think what's been baked in, that sort of was baked in. The soccer is going to be good. The peripheral stuff I'm not wild about, but I think in the long term, the costs and things, I know you got a ticket for Ecuador and Curacao, but you probably got one of the best games to get a ticket for in the whole tournament. It's very expensive, and it's not just the tickets. It's the transport in places like Boston and New York, and then the parking. I mean, they're gouging. And that's, but I think eventually that will be forgotten unless there's some really bad thing that happens, and I don't anticipate that. They'll remember the soccer, and they'll remember the team that wins. And eventually that's what this World Cup will be judged by, and I think it's probably going to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it will too. I'm very excited for it. Before we let you go, Bruce, anything you like tonight in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I might we're doing the freeway series again at Dodger Stadium.
Poor
and
Angels.
And the Dodgers. Yeah, I mean, you wonder if the Angels won't even show up. I mean, they got outscored 31-3 a few weeks ago across that three-game series against the Dodgers. But here they go tonight at Chavez Ravine, and you can get the Dodgers and Roki Sasaki, who's actually pitched better his last few starts, beginning with that Sunday game at Anaheim a few weeks ago. Seven innings pitched, just one run, four hits. He's had three good starts in a row, and the Angels are going with Detmers, who has had a couple good efforts, but when he's bad, he's bad. You can lay the extra run, and you're still getting like plus 105 with the Dodgers. I just can't help but look at that, especially since how much L.A., outscored them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, watching the White Sox and the Phillies keep winning here. Their record with batting, I think it's, 24-10 now? But the White Sox have been kind of a surprise. That's a good matchup. It's Kay and Luzardo in that one. White Sox would be a playoff team right now if the AL playoffs started. And one more down in San Diego tonight. We'll see about the Padres as Michael Kane against Scott and the Mets. The Padres, all of a sudden, they're near 500. They have really tailed off the last few weeks. And the Mets, you know, they have yet to put it together themselves. So I think it's kind of important for both of these teams to get going right now. And I would watch that game tonight very closely down in San Diego.
Yeah, should be a really fun weekend with all the sports that we've got in front of us. But, Bruce, before we let you go, how can people find more of you?
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Check me out online. Everything for me under the WagerTalk.com umbrella now. That's where Gold Sheet is. But we'll start putting up some stuff, football. I'll get some season wins in there. We're not probably until July. We're getting some World Cup stuff up there now. But all my picks are there. WagerTalk.com. That's also picks and parlays, winnersandwiners.com. But everything under that WagerTalk.com umbrella, including some videos you can see right now.
Bruce, I can't wait for a great Bruce Marshall specialty retrospective with all the C.J. Carr Heisman Trophy talk. Last Notre Dame Heisman Trophy winning quarterback was John Hurett. I got to have a retrospective from you on John Hurett, the old Memphis Southman Grizzly.
John Hewitt, a local product in Orange County, California, modern day high school. He went into that season. Nobody was talking about Hewitt and the Heisman in 64, yet he did. I don't think Notre Dame's had a winner since Tim Brown, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Hewitt, last quarterback, though.
Hewitt's the last quarterback, and then and even Brown's almost 40 years now.
Yeah,
so they're thinking they're overdue, but I think they could wait a little bit longer.
Preseason we'll favorite see. In 64, was it Namath?
And he stayed hurt all year? I think it was, and I think, you know, in the end, the second place finisher was Jerry Rome.
Yeah, from Tulsa.
And that was a close vote. In fact, Tulsa got the runner-up 2 years in a row, Rome and Howard Twilley the next year behind Mike Garrett. If you can believe that, Tulsa had two Heisman runner-ups back-to-back years in the mid-60s.
Craig Morton at Cal then that year?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, 64. Yeah. Yeah, he was. And Staubach came back for his senior year at Navy. He won the Heisman as a junior the year before.
That was
great year. It really was.
Yeah, no, that was an easy favorite right there.
Great
Bruce,
stuff,
as always, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you again on Friday.
Okay, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Bruce. Bruce Marshall joining us every single Friday. You can find all of his stuff over at the Gold Sheet. And, man, this is Bruce time right now. I mean, you got the NBA Finals. You got the Stanley Cup Finals, World Cup starting next week like we talked about with him. He's starting slowly but surely all his college prep and preseason stuff to put out for win totals and stuff like that. So it's a good time for Bruce.
First game, 2 o'clock, Mexico and South Africa next Thursday afternoon.
Right. Yeah, two games on Thursday.
Who you got?
I'll go with Mexico in that game. Two games Thursday, I believe two games Friday, and then gets kicked off on Saturday. So. I'm fired up. I mean, you had
nothing in front of you, and I've got it all in front of me, and you knew more than I did.
I wish it started today. I'm super excited for the World Cup.
USA, Paraguay, where?
See, they're all over the place. That's the one thing I hate about the World Cup.
Oh, SoFi.
Yeah, you know that's right. Is that SoFi? And then I think maybe their second game in Seattle, because they're going, it's SoFi. I know they're playing a game in Seattle, I think, and then maybe one other spot too. I think all three of their games are in different spots, which I'm not, that's what I'm not wild about. I don't love it, but let's see. Now I can't even find their
Canada opening in Toronto.
Yeah, well, that's perfect for them. Let's see where those other two games are. So they play Australia on the 19th. That game is at, Lumen Field. And then their final game, back at SoFi. Okay, so that's not as bad. They're going to play the first game at SoFi. They're going to go up to Seattle for the second game, and then they'll go back to SoFi for the third game. Okay, so that's not as bad as what I thought it was going to be. But, yeah, they'll be out there on the West Coast and will be a lot of fun. But let's go ahead get to another break. When we return, we're going to talk more about the NBA Finals Game 2 tonight. We'll do that next on Sports Time.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day
at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Game 2 later tonight in the NBA Finals. We've talked at length about what happened in Game 1, the Knicks comeback, and ultimately the win, what they did in the fourth quarter. Really, really impressive. And now the question will be, do they have that same magic tonight in Game 2, or can the Spurs even it up at one apiece?
There's not anybody that joins this show or on these airwaves that I respect more and regard far as much as I have for Bruce Marshall. Mm-hmm. Everybody slow down on these sweeps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
I might join in at 2-0.
But that's I think a lot of that is New York. I think it's because the big market, the big brand, it's, man, what if New York could get a sweep?
Did San Antonio scare you that much Wednesday night to maybe think sweep?
No, I watched the game, and it actually gave me great confidence.
At the game one, 4:30 to play.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they shot the ball horribly throughout the entire night, and still, you know, in the third quarter, had that 14-point lead, and just miserable in the fourth quarter. So yeah, I mean, after watching the game, and I had a conversation about it with somebody up here after game one of, no, I would almost double down on the Spurs to win the whole thing after what I saw in game one. Now, if it's the same thing tonight, and if it's, hey, another poor shooting performance, then I'll buy more into, oh, that's the Knicks' defense, and yeah, maybe the Spurs are in trouble. But after just one game, I chalked it up as, hey, short rest for them, those legs are gone after a 7-game series against OKC, who plays phenomenal defense, and they just didn't have a great shooting night. I have a lot of confidence in the Spurs tonight.
I want to give Carl Anthony Towns credit, but I don't think he did that great a job. I just think Wembanyama missed.
Sure, sure. No, that was a lot of it. No, give him a lot of credit. You know, he was really good. You
I'll give him some credit.
Sure. You know, Victor got the best of him a couple times throughout that. I mean, there was the one play where, you know, Victor just took it right at him and, you know, sent Cat to the ground and got the and one. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I thought Carl Anthony Towns did a really good job. And that'll be the question going into tonight. Can he do that again? If it's two games in a row of holding him to, I can't remember off the top of my head, the exact numbers they did when Cat was guarding Victor Wembanyama last night. Victor was 2-for-11 from the field and 5 turnovers. If we wake up tomorrow and we see another performance, we saw another performance like that, and we're talking about another 2-for-11 showing with a bunch more turnovers, then yeah, I'll give Cat a whole lot more credit. I just don't know if he can do that multiple games in a row.
I haven't updated this lately, but 21st century champions and forever the closed society.
Yeah.
I mean, just the we picked the winner club was the NBA.
That's right.
Now, the Spurs, if they win it, it won't change. It'll, it'll stay because five, they had, going into this, they have 5 total, but one was in 99, 4 in the 21st century. That would make it 5. That would keep the NBA with the smallest number of the 5 sports that I keep up with. That would keep the NBA at 12 if the Spurs win.
Right.
The Knicks win, closed society is suddenly open society at 13, as Bruce mentioned, all these different winners. That would equal the NFL that is set up for it to be shared.
No, that's exactly right.
The essence of the NFL setup is everybody gets a crack at winning.
Yeah, no, yeah, no doubt about it. That would be really interesting. And so, yeah, I mean, and you hear a lot. I know Bruce said it when he joined us. And I've heard a lot of other people say this. It feels like the Spurs, because of everything we continue to say of Victor Wembanyama. He's already so good, only 22 years old. The rest of that core, how young they are. It feels like the Spurs are set up to be in a position like this for multiple years in the future. On the other side, the Knicks, it feels like this might be a you win it here, and then you might not scratch the next couple of years. You might go back to just being in Eastern Conference Finals or second round
type
D. This is your shot. And so I have heard some people say, I am rooting for the Knicks to go out and just go ahead and get it done this year, get the win this year, and then, you know, the Spurs will have their fun later.
Nick, get your win this year and don't wait 53 more to get the next.
That's another thing. I would love it if the Knicks just hang around a little bit. I mean, you know, I don't love the Knicks, but I don't want you to just be in the wilderness for 50 plus years.
I'm happy for them. I don't know that I can stomach a Knicks dynasty.
No, I certainly can't. Especially if Carl Anthony Towns.
They're going to jam it right down your throat.
Exactly. I mean, it already feels jammed down your throat now. And it's very, very new and very short. But it will be a lot of talk if they get this win.
Here it is. Major League Baseball, again, go out to man and woman on the street and try to get who has shared it the most. It's baseball with 16 in the 16 different champs in the 21st century. That's in the teeth of a Yankee dynasty, the evil empire that the Red Sox became. San Francisco 3 times, Houston 2 times, Dodgers already at 3, but still 16 different in the 21st century. College football and college basketball at 14 each. And in fairness to college basketball, they did miss COVID year, the only one of these that didn't crown a champion that year. And then the NBA, if we have the Knicks, that would be 13, or it would stay at 12.
Yeah.
In fourth or fifth.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be good stuff if they add another champion. And for that reason, you know, I would be glad for it because it has. I mean, you know, it felt like every single year in the teens, it was, you know, Cavs and Warriors there for the 4-year stretch or so that they felt like they were in there every single year. But now, I mean, it's just different team after different team over the last 8 or 9 years.
The baseball haters, and there are many. Same teams win it every year. You know who's going to win it when you leave spring
Dodgers
training.
Dodgers and Yankees. They're playing the World Series every year.
Can I remind you of the Miami Marlins winning it once in this 21st century to go with the one they won in 97? Can I remind you of Anaheim winning one? Can I remind you of Kansas City? Can I remind you of the Cubs breaking one of the most fabled curses in sports history? They all have.
No, they definitely have.
Texas.
Yeah.
The White Sox.
That's right.
North side and south side get one.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, I would love to say that because you're right. I mean, it happens all the time. Hard to say that when you look up and see that Dodgers roster right now, though. Because I love saying that. I'll watch the Dodgers and I'll tell my buddies, I'll be like, this Dodgers team's not good enough to win the World Series. They've got issues. And then you look up in October and
they're there.
I mean, they're just, they're clicking on all
cylinders. All comes together.
It sure does. So,
But the money in equity's always been there in baseball.
No, it definitely has.
I mean, it was there when those teams I mentioned were winning it.
Yeah.
It was there in the 70s when Whitey Herzog was trying to win it with the Kansas City Royals against George Steinbrenner.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And so, you know, it's interesting to look around because I think you're right. For whatever reason, the different leagues kind of get labeled as, hey, this is a league where anybody can win it. This is a league that nobody can win it. It's only one or two teams. And, you know, it's kind of, no matter what happens, they're set as that type of league. And, you know, it feels like a couple of those leagues in there, they're kind of changing the narrative. So it's going to be fun tonight. See how it all plays out. Certainly a lot of questions about what happens from a rotation standpoint. And certainly, can the Knicks win this game tonight, favored by even more? I love what Bruce Marshall said about it, of, hey, you know, a lot of times you get punched in the mouth that game one. You come out, you know, hungrier. You know what's at stake. And so certainly it looks like Vegas is thinking that the Spurs could bounce back and win this game tonight. Again, 7:30 on ABC. Well, let's go ahead and get to another break. And when we return, it'll be time for Big Number of the Day.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
And she says, I wish that I could be like the cool kids, because all the cool kids...
Big Daddy.
Hello, Big Brand.
It's a guy, he wants to be big, then he gets big, he doesn't want to be big anymore, then he gets small, but the suit's too big.
Big Daddy.
The big boy.
You're a big guy.
I think she's trying to pull a fast one on Big Daddy.
The big number of the day.
Well, Brett, my big number today is the number 14, and it comes from college football, actually, as it is, we're officially in list season, magazine season, people starting to put out a whole bunch of stuff. And yesterday, Adam Rittenberg over at ESPN posted a story picking college football's top non-quarterback playmakers in 2026. He lists 14 players on this list, including some big-time players.
Kwon Lacy's got to be
Kwon Lacy's on there. Malachi Toney is on there from Miami. John Henry Daly from Michigan is on there. Colin Simmons from Texas is on there. Jeremiah Smith, of course, the receiver from Ohio State, is on there. I don't see Cam Coleman on this list. He is not on
Hollywood
this
Smothers.
List. I did not see Smothers on there either. I think only one Texas player on there. I don't know if it was they just wanted to do one. If they were going to do a team, they only wanted one from that team. But those players not on there. But I bring it up because 14 players on this list, again, non-quarterback playmakers from the upcoming season. Only one player from the group of five, and he will be playing at Memphis this season. Jamon Tapp, the defensive lineman, edge rusher, came over from Southern Miss with Charles Huff.
Get after you, big
boy. Yeah, he is listed on this. Had 70 tackles last season, 7.5 sacks, 12 tackles for loss, 10 quarterback hurries. He was an edge rusher, primarily an edge rusher last year. He's slimmed up a little bit and might move around on the defense. And this is what Huff said to ESPN about him. Last year, he played really, really hard and disruptive, and he made a lot of plays because of it. This year, he's starting to play the game mentally as hard as disruptive. He's recognizing formation tendencies and backfield alignments and tackle sets. Last year, he was just the ball snapped, and I'm going to run straight ahead as hard as I can, and when I open my eyes, I'm probably going to be in the backfield. Now he's a lot more cerebral. So sounds like even the head coach who coached him last year is thinking big things. Started his career at Arizona State, was at Texas, didn't play much at either of those schools, was at Southern Miss last year. now with the Memphis Tigers.
That's so, the times will be in different places.
No, it definitely is. And so definitely cool to see only one Group of Five player, and it is a Memphis Tiger on this list.
It is. And, Bryant, one theme at SEC Media Days, if my old brain checks out, I want you to remind me of it. And last year it was Trinidad Chambliss.
Yeah.
It feels like every year there's some quarterback. Mm-hmm. What do you think the total talk time last year in Atlanta was of Trinidad Chambliss at Media Days?
I mean, zero. He wasn't even the starter week one.
I would dare say not one mention.
I would say
nothing. Not 0.0 yeah. from the assembled 1,200 mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
Johnny Manziel was almost that. We didn't even know how to pronounce his name. Yeah. Cam Newton was a lot like that. Mm-hmm. Blake Sims at Bama was a lot like that.
Yeah.
Heck, Jaden Daniels had some talk, but not Heisman. Joe Burrow had talk, but not Heisman. Mm-mm. There's always one we never see coming at quarterback in SEC.
There definitely is.
Last year, me leading the John Mateer band.
Sure, yeah.
He was hurt a lot, but he didn't. Yeah, not much.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's...
Who will it be? It'll be someone.
It'll be somebody, but that's the problem is we probably won't know until they're actually doing it out there on the field.
A.J. Hill?
I think it's time. No, we're still early for a break. I don't think so.
I shouldn't say it bad like that, should I?
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be AJ.
My big number is 53. It's been talked about a lot. 53 years since the Knicks last won an NBA championship. And that year, they started 1-1. They have never started 2-0 when they won it in 70.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 73... They won game one, lost game two, and then won three straight against Jerry West and Gail Goodrich and Wilt Chamberlain and the Lakers. In 70, they won game two and went on to seven-game series. So they've never started 2-0, ever.
Wow. Wow.
They can tonight.
Yeah, it's a huge game tonight.
I don't
tonight.
Know if my number's 2 or 53, but it's one of them.
Well, I think both of them are great. You can use them interchangeably if you want. But, for so many reasons, tonight's game just feels massive.
And if they win it, they won't even need jet fuel to fly
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
They'll float back to New York.
Not even. I mean, all the Knicks fans will just carry him back.
Might be one of those for the pros. The team will be arriving at such and such time.
Yeah, it might be. It really might be.
The airport scene. We used to have that a little in the pros.
Definitely. And, I think you could certainly see something like that. I mean, New York, they're going to be rocking no matter what tonight. But, yeah, if it's another win, then it will be Mad City up there in New York tonight. And
it will be.
Through the weekend, because, we get an extra day because of the travel. So Monday, game three, and if they win game two tonight, it won't feel like there will be a weekend. That party will just last until game three starts.
I would not suggest anybody brave enough to go on the court tonight, because I think you'll be greeted differently than on Wednesday night and then Monday night at the Garden.
Oh, man.
If you go out on the court.
No chance.
You're on your own.
Yeah, it's going to be a different monster Monday at Madison Square Garden. But, we talked about it day after game one. I think there was a big meeting with everybody involved, security, ushers, everybody down in San Antonio of, hey, get your game face on. We got to be on alert going forward.
So. Somebody, I'll guarantee you, said it better not happen again.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, so we'll see. What happens later tonight with that one? If we see another fan,
oh no, that score turned quickly.
Some updates here from the Super Regionals as now Troy up 5-1. Little Rock had an early lead 1-0 and a couple long balls for Troy. Now they're up. USC up 9-5 over North Carolina in the bottom of the eighth inning. Those are only two games going on right now. We'll have Ole Miss later tonight against Auburn. We'll have coverage of that game starting at 6:30 with the pregame show. So, yeah, Little Rock, they need a big comeback if they're going to turn things around and win this one.
Are either of y'all in a 16-run pool?
Not in a 16. I'm not in any pool.
What a shame. Giants have put 16 on the board at Wrigley.
Wow. That's I don't know what they're doing.
Landon, 16-run pool for you? No.
I don't think so. I don't. He's just giving us a blank look. I don't even think he knows what a 16-run pool is.
I don't think there's one.
No, a 16-run pool would be crazy. I would not.
And I sure don't want to run it. That.
No, certainly not. But yeah, I don't know what the Giants have been doing against the Brewers and the Cubs. Now, I understand the Cubs. The Cubs have been struggling, so I can understand putting it on the Cubs.
What happened?
Your answer is better than mine because I have
big
no clue.
Big time manager.
Yeah. I mean,
good
again,
roster.
I mean, this is the same team that's gone on two separate team game winning streaks.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it would
ought to be enough.
It should be. I mean, it would be completely different if this was a team that, hey, good manager, good roster. It's just not very good. They hadn't been put together. But they've shown multiple times this year they can be the best team in the division. And then they have the rest of the time they're looking like this. And it's very, very strange. And I have no answer for it. But, yep, 16-1 right now. Giants on top of the Cubs. 17 hits for the Giants. Only 5 for the Cubs. A lot of good baseball later tonight around Major League Baseball. And again, everything going on in the Super Regionals. But let's go ahead and get to another break. And when we return, we're going to talk some college basketball. A lot of scheduling news coming out over the last couple of days, including the ACC, SEC Challenge. We'll go through those matchups. Some other college basketball news. We'll do that in our next segment. Don't go anywhere. You listen to Sports Time.